who here has not, wasn't at any of the other sessions?
Sparkles.
Went through four or five. Okay.
You mean sparkles?
To explain what this is, sparkles. I should get one of the audience members who sat through this five times now. The this is a wall of sheep,
of which the top part seems to have scrolled up. There we go.
I just got glitter.
We're running an open wireless. And it's no encryption. Anybody can get on it. Now, the problem is you don't know who you're talking to when you connect to any wireless, encrypted or not. And it's very easy for somebody with the key. For instance, at a Starbucks, they have the same key you do if they're encrypting it. That means they can wirelessly sniff the traffic. They do not have to tap into the physical infrastructure to do it. And it makes it possible with off-the-shelf software. Everything you see here is Apache, off-the-shelf. Etercap, off-the-shelf. Kubuntu, off-the-shelf. It took me, having never configured this particular configuration before, I was able to put this all together except for this script that's actually creating the web page. That we got from IronGeek. It's a little bit of PHP code. You can go download it from his site there at the bottom. And what that allows us to do is Etercap will sniff in promiscuous mode the network, automatically parse all the traffic and pull out user IDs and passwords and tell you what protocol, what IP address they were using, so that you can then take that user ID and password and be them.
Hello? No, I was scrolling the wrong direction. So,
more beer. So the point of this is that anybody, this only took me a couple hours to config with a couple of Google searches of how do I do this, how do I do that. And so it makes it possible anybody can be reading this traffic. That means when you connect to a wireless network, you should be using a secure protocol whenever you connect to a service, HTTPS, SSL, SSH, POPS, IMAPS. If you're using a protocol in the clear, some miscreant like me or some of the other people in this room might be listening to what you're doing, and then they can be you. So normally we do this kind of thing, I don't, but others do, called the Wall of Sheep at Black Hat and DEF CON, DEF CON being the largest hacker conference in the world. And they're merciless. They do sidejacking attacks, they do all kinds of stuff. For instance, when you get on Facebook, it's an authenticated login, but they give you back a cookie in clear text. Now, for those who don't know, HTTP is stateless, meaning when you connect to the web server, it gives you the content, breaks the connection, and forgets you were ever there. So when you go back to connect again, it would make you authenticate. Every time you clicked on something on Facebook, it'd make you authenticate again. To prevent that from happening and not annoy the customer, it gives you a cookie, a signed cookie. Once you have that cookie, every time you connect, the first thing Facebook does is check and says, is that cookie there? Oh, he talked to me before. He's good. Come on in. And he gives you the data without making you retype in your password. Well, they sent the cookie in clear text. There's a product out there you can get free, open source, called Hamster and Ferret. Runs under Windows. I would have run it, but I didn't want to bring a second box. What it does is capture those cookies for you, allow you to put them on your system, and then you're them. And what they do at these conferences is they then put up your private photo collection, starts popping up on the screen. you should see the reactions that people have. Now, we had a complaint about our wall of sheep. And it was from another track staff member. And after listening to his pleas, I had to agree with him. Black Hat and DEF CON, they're all security professionals or hackers. They should know better. However, here at Dragon Con, somebody, mere mortals out here, not like us, hacker types, they're going to see an open wireless and go ahead and use it. And they don't know any better. So we were putting all the user IDs are still there, but the passwords were in clear text. Well, I'm not going to make it that easy for you. You're going to have to go build your own sniffet yourself, okay? So what he said was, it'd be nice if we just obfuscated them. So we left a couple of characters up there so people can go, oh my God, that's my password. But at the same time, we don't give away the entire keys of the city. You'll have to do that for yourself. So that's what our wall of sheep is. Now, Our job, should we choose to accept it, which I hope you do, is to ask Johnny here as many questions that will cause neurons to fire, giving him great pain and a big headache because he consumed an incredible amount of beer last night. It was really impressive, especially with the funnel. And if any of you get this reference, this is cool. He had a really bad night with a Cremorian fang beast. Fangor beast, yeah.
They electrocuted him at the Mad
Scientist Ball. Oh, they did. They electrocuted him. That's good. I do not taunt Happy Fun Ball because if you, anybody know what that reference is? You need to go look that up. One person did. Do not taunt Happy Fun Ball, for he has a cattle prod and will use it. So without further ado, here's Pope Johnny X to answer all your hacker questions. If you have a question, come up and talk into mine.
Yes.
Look at that Outer Limits episode where I'm a kind of with a weird grain.
It's too bright in here.
You never got it. How did it feel to be electrocuted in that cage last night?
It actually felt really damn good.
Damn, I need to be at that party.
It was all ozone-inated or something afterwards, and energized, and my hair stood up more. I had sparks coming out of me for a bit. Shot my girlfriend when I kissed her.
Was this part of the arc attack?
Yeah.
How many
they put me in a cage between the Tesla coils and
light you up, yeah.
Kind of danced a little bit. Okay, it was neat. Just don't touch the corners of or the insides of the cage or you'll die.
The Tesla coils, by the way, put out, I don't know, a couple million volts. It's a lot. They're man-made lightning generators. And Architect uses them to actually play music. It's gorgeous to watch and kill the hell out of you. They apparently have a cage they set up between them. And if you stand in the cage and don't touch anything, you're literally in the middle of a lightning storm. And
don't lick the cage.
Johnny X was crazy enough to actually do it. So have mercy on him. No, don't. Just beat him mercilessly.
Do whatever you want. I got a cattle prod. What? What? No.
I liked it better when you had beer.
Who said that? Nice catch.
No, hey, 2-hour rule. If it's been on the floor less than 2 hours, you're drunk enough to still eat it, so go ahead.
Actually, I'm not as blitzed enough as I'm pretending to be. I'm just tired. It's been a long weekend. You guys get to have fun. I have to work this shit.
So, have questions, go up and ask the... Amy, why don't you introduce yourself, by the way? You haven't done it.
Me?
Yeah.
You're talking about her.
I know who you are, but some of these other people are... Well, some of them know who you are, but they're too drunk to remember, and the rest of them don't know who you are.
Who doesn't know who I am? Who the fuck are you people? Is this your first year or something? I'm Pope Johnny X. I helped start this track of programming 11 years ago, 12. How long ago was it?
A long time.
97-ish, maybe, earlier. I don't know. Apparently back in the mid to late 90s when the .com industry was still alive. Anyone remember that? Wasn't that fun? Yeah. I remember that. I had money. It was cool. I like money. Wish I had some more. They decided that hackers were these hot things, and this whole .com thing and internet stuff was cool. So we should have people here to talk about it. And I was asked by my friend Decius615, who started the Nashville 2600 group, and then came down here to Georgia Tech and kickstarted the Atlanta 2600 group to come down and be a hacker at DragonCon, which technical hacker I am not. I freely admit that I'm social engineering type person, although I do mess around with phones some too. And so I said, okay, you want me to be a hacker? What do I need to do to like be a hacker and amuse people? And he said, wear lots of black, and sunglasses, like even during the day, and kind of punk thing maybe, in a scary T-shirt and some chains or something, and
no suntan.
I got that always covered, so that's not a problem. And figured, okay, I'll pretend to be a scary hacker person, and it was actually kind of fun. People fell for it, so I figured, okay, that's a good social engineering trick, and they let me come in for free, and they gave me this guest badge, and I got to drink for free and hang out like with real famous people and pretend that I was famous too. So I was like, I like this. I should do this some more. And the following year, I was just a guest on a one-shot type panel for that. Tom was talking about encryption. We had some lawyer person. I don't even remember who the fourth person was. Next year, we came back, and they did a EFF mini track. They had four slots of programming, one each day, and I programmed three of them, and they just happened to be hacking 101, hacking 201, and hacking 301. And
bless you.
Gesundheit. And again. How far do sneeze germs travel, anyone?
280 yards.
We're dead.
How do you? I was going to say, I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's a good. Yeah. 97.3% of all statistics are just made up on the spot. Not this one, though. I would never lie to you. Never, ever. So, yeah, it just kind of grew from there. We came back and hacking 101, 201, 301. It was popular. We filled up rooms. I think one of them was smaller than this. A couple of them were larger than this. The 301 was scheduled at a much more sober time of the day. And we weren't as lazy back then. We had all sorts of handouts and information to give to people. And now we just say, use fucking Google and look it up. So I figured that's the first weed out process there. If you can't find this information on your favorite search engine, then you know, maybe you should consider something other than the glorious career of a hacker. Although, to be perfectly honest and serious and straight about this, we always stress that it's hacking in the original non-criminal sense of the word. If you want to learn how to go out and do illegal stuff just to rip people off, no, we don't do that, and you probably deserve to be caught, and we would probably help the cops if we had a chance to catch you for doing nefarious things like that, because it gives the rest of us a bad name. Came back one year. This wasn't me. I didn't do this, of course. I found this interesting videotape right before the convention and felt compelled to bring it and share it, of this gentleman who was dressed in a tuxedo, wearing gloves, rubber gloves, with a paper bag over his head and a Bob Dobb face stuck to it from the Church of the Subgenius, and he proceeded to give a presentation on how to eavesdrop on cell phone calls with common equipment you can buy at Radio Shack, or you could at the time. That was a lot of fun. It wasn't me, despite sounding a bit like me. It wasn't me. I just found the videotape. That went over well. Anyway, hacking 101, 201, 301 seemed to have kind of stuck, so we've done it ever since. And the hacking 201 beer tradition, I'm not even sure how that started, but that's been going on for quite a while, and it's rather fun. Although, silly me, I discovered that if you actually go out and purchase the booze beforehand from a discount package store, you can get a hell of a lot more booze than if you go up to the little package store opposite the Hyatt, where apparently they jack up the prices two or threefold during the convention. So that allowed the purchase of the large amount of really nice, the copious amount of really nice booze, fuck you, Rattle, that we still have a lot of it left over. In fact, I've got a cooler full upstairs, which I would be more than happy to bring down here and share with the rest of you if you would like it, because God knows I'm not going to drink it all. So, all right, if there's interest in that, stick around when this thing officially ends, if it actually ends and doesn't just kind of peter out, and I'll go upstairs and grab it and be back down in a few minutes. Question there. Yes, sir, Mr. Hat.
We were actually recording this, so don't do anything your mother would be ashamed of.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Anything bad. We'll just edit out in post-production, either right. That or we'll demand ransom. We'll blackmail you.
Okay, well, I was just going to ask you guys if you had any pranks that you pulled on just other people on your network or...
On networks. Okay, that's the technical stuff. Remember, I'm the social engineer who...
Well, I mean, you can do it with social engineering. Some of the ones I've done are, like, you put the background as you put their background image as what it was with all the icons, and you move everything off the screen.
That's a classic.
Switching the mouse buttons.
I don't think you can do this with the newer versions of Windows, but a really fun one back in the NT 2000 days was to go in shell equals clock.
Oh, yeah,
that's fun. So when they boot their system up, instead of Explorer being the shell, the desktop, the clock, they just have a big clock. That's their desktop, and that there's no other icons and nothing else really they can do unless they know the keyboard shortcuts, and most people don't.
Yeah, so I was just going to ask everybody here what they had.
That's good. I like pranks. Pranks are good. Who's got good pranks they want to share?
An old 95 one was, remember how it used to say your computer is now safe to shut down? You just changed that little W to a T. It is not safe to shut down.
For God's sakes, don't shut down. Your computer will explode if you continue to shut down.
Yeah, so I was just going to invite everybody to share the pranks.
Share the pranks. I like that. We should do that. In fact, we're going to do that. Hacking 301 is now unofficially Share the Pranks. And you should go ahead and announce, you know, who you are before you go ahead and describe your pranks and like an email address or something, so we'll know how to contact you with the ransom/blackmail demand. Yeah.
Well, we prank the hell out of each other at the office, and we know about it usually beforehand. It's a tech support call center, so we've got all kinds of gear. It's AV, so we took a speaker, put it up over on top of, like, above someone's desk, ran the wire back, and then we played this song that they hated. It was the final countdown. We just play it over and over.
That's evil.
Randomly.
Yeah, that's evil. I think that if you had done that to me, I probably would have killed you after a while.
I used to work for a place and had someone who would get songs stuck in her head. So changed her startup song to be the entire group of Oompa Loompa songs. So every time she started up, her computer would do all of them in order.
Doompa dee doo, I've got another message for you. The Oompa Loompas were kind of cool. Oh, Lord. Yeah, that's evil. Something else fun. Can't really buy these. It's usually you build one yourself, but it's really cheap, a couple of bucks of parts. And Annoyinator, I think, is the most common name I've heard for it.
The ones they have.
Annoyatron. Yeah, that's one too. Something that just at random intervals, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, fluctuates between something like that, just goes. And that's it. Short enough that you can't determine where it's coming from exactly. By the time you turn your head to try to do the stereo location thing, it's gone, and you don't hear it again for another 5, 10, 15 minutes. Hide those in someone's house or office. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Drives them crazy. You can do that unintentionally, too, with a lot of fire alarms, battery-powered fire alarms, the kinds that you kind of stick up on the ceiling and, you know, buy for $5 at Walmart or something. So, yeah. Pranks? Any more pranks? I try to think of some good pranks. Really, some pranks I can talk about where the statute of limitations has expired. Oh, my God. Does anyone remember the really famous picture that was circulating a few years back? It was a screen capture of someone's desktop after Back Orifice had come out. And the picture was one taken through a webcam, and it was this kind of heavy-set guy with the almost crew-cut shaved head, a little bit overweight, sitting at his computer desk, had his shirt off, with this stunned and horrified look on his face, like, and in the background, he's in his bedroom, on his background, his bed, and you can see there's this female form draped over his bed, you know, clothed, and the screen capture of the screen here has the little pop-up that says, "Hi, I'm your computer. I've been watching you for a while, and I have to tell you, dude, please, put on a shirt. We don't need to see that." And behind you, the chick on the bed, you should be tapping that. Don't be gay. Get off the computer. Yeah.
We have one guy that likes to call out sick And he's like, I don't feel so good, because he stays up till like 4 in the morning and drinks profusely.
Wimp.
Pretty much like us here at Hacker 301.
Yeah, but we're here. He's got garnered a reputation for it, so we give him shit for it all the time. Well, he called out one day or something, so he took everything at his desk. He was the inventory manager for our little tech area, too. So we give him extra shit, because he tries to be in charge of us. We took everything in his desk and turned it upside down. His phone was screwed into his desk. It's a wooden desk. We turned that upside down. We turned all his paperwork, his little posters upside down. I turned his monitor upside down. It was a LCD. We did his chair.
And fun thing would be to flip the monitor upside down and then set the image so it displays right side up. So he's like turns the monitor back and then has to try to figure out how to put his image back normally.
Well, we have laptops. So we all take it home tonight. And the one laptop that was there, we actually needed to use, so we didn't fuck with it.
He could have hidden his screen. That would have been funny, just taking
it
off.
He has left his computer unlocked several times, like, man, I should put a VNC client on there and just fuck with him.
Yeah, fun office hacks. I like the ones where they fill someone's cubicle up with styrofoam entirely, tape over the entranceway, and the person comes in, and their cubicle is now a sea of styrofoam with all of their stuff buried inside. Another fun one is you come back and everything in your cubicle has been wrapped up in tinfoil. Everything, even the loose change, has been individually wrapped in tinfoil. Takes some work, but yeah. Oh. Has anyone read the any of the Caltech or the MIT prank books? Anyone? Oh. If you haven't, you need to go find these. The Caltech ones are kind of thin, and I think you can only get them through the Caltech bookstore, but yeah, you can call in and order them, mail order. Very worth doing. Best Pranks of Caltech and more Best Pranks of Caltech is, I think, what they're called. Just go to the Caltech bookstore and look for pranks. And the ones from MIT, they have listed at, I believe, pranks.mit.edu, along with the prank library. There's a prank war going on right now between Caltech and MIT. Longer than that, I think. I'm waiting to for Caltech to respond to the last thing I read that MIT had done, but I'll get into that in a minute. One of the better ones I saw at, I believe this is one of the MIT pranks. Some guy had gone for a long weekend to visit parents, relatives, something like that. His doormates, this was great. They took the molding around the door off, and I think they took his door off too, and got some drywall, and put it in the place, and then they drywalled over it, and then very carefully matched the paint samples and painted over it, and then moved some light fixtures too. So when he came back, where the door to his room was just blank wall. It looks like there'd never been a door there. And they have pictures of the guy trying to measure along the wall to figure out where his door should be, because they moved the light fixtures on the walls, too, to screw him up. Some administrator who pissed them off at one point, parking at MIT is notoriously difficult to obtain. And if you have your own parking space, you're really supposedly hot shit, or you've got the goods on somebody. And so some administrator had really pissed off a bunch of students, which you shouldn't do at a place like MIT. So again, another long weekend. This administrator's parking space was in one of these mini parking lots. It's only got 6 spaces in it. Long weekend. They went back in, they resurfaced the parking lot and repainted the lines to turn it from 6 to 5 spaces and put everyone else's names back, you know, stenciled on the spot. So administrator comes in, their parking space is gone. What else? Anyone know who the bastard operator from hell is? Familiar with the BOF? Okay. Those of you who aren't, when you get home, look for this bastard operator from hell. This guy is legendary. He's the sysadmin we all wish we had the balls to be. Yeah. So I'm not going to say anything else. You need to experience it firsthand, the joy that is the BOF, and then you will understand a lot more about the IT industry when you read these guys' rants who have been going on for 20, 25 years now. Yeah, legend. Absolute legend. Yes, sir. Is that the guy what?
No.
This is
just going type in
BOFH in Google. Yeah, so some of the BOF stuff has got to be based on personal experience. Some of it is the kind of fantasizing that you wish you could do if you had absolute 100% job security and were totally untouchable. Yeah. Yeah.
I've been doing computers since they invented two tin cans and a string. We increased the bandwidth.
Yeah, tell us about the dinosaurs when you're done.
Those came much later.
But, no. I heard you roam the earth.
Yeah, they roamed the earth. They made big noises. I had the pleasure of working in tech support a long time ago at a computer store. Randall, you made it. We weren't sure you would, you know, we were going to get a defibrillator and come to your room. So we had the store manager, we were back in tech support, we had put in some remote control software and we had a brand new network. The manager, of course, has all these sales reps come in, and if you've ever been in computers or pharmaceuticals, you get either these guys in suits or these really hot chicks who come as the sales reps, especially pharmaceuticals. He's got
hot chicks with drugs. I mean, is that a marketing ploy or what?
Yeah, it's got to be. I think it was the Memorex vendor came in, and she was particularly hot. And he's got her over there in his office, and they're talking. So we had installed a program. Go Google this. You can find about it. It's called Evil Noises. And it was an old Mac program. And it's Opus from the comic book, and he makes profoundly evil bathroom noises. So in the background, while he's talking to this girl, we crank down the volume really low, turn on Evil Noises remotely, and he starts making bathroom noises in front of this hot chick. He was just a little annoyed with us. And then the sysadmin for the group we were in really was not a networking guy, and he put in his first Apple network, it was Apple Talk, and started connecting up all the Macs. And he really didn't quite grok how all this stuff works, so we decided to play a prank on him. We remote controlled into the secretary of the directors of the facilities, Mac, and fired up her email. We had to wait until she was on break because you'd see the mouse and everything moving around the screen. Sent an email from her saying, "Haha, we're hackers, we own you," and sent it to the administrator's account, which he had just recently set up because he just installed all this. Yeah, who didn't have to? And so I did not. So,
get out.
Hey, somebody needs adult supervision. They picked me. I'm sorry.
This is DragonCon.
We did is we sent this email saying, "Haha, we own you," and everything else, and we waited because we knew he would become screaming into our office, "Oh, we've been broken into. What do I do?" He never came, and he never came. And about 6 months later, when he quit the job and went to do something else, we said, Why didn't you ever say anything when you got that email from the hackers?" What email? You know, the one to the admin account. There's an admin account? So inadvertently, he had pranked us, apparently. So somebody else come up. Oh, Randall, are you going to sit up here? And you are now. For those of you who don't know, this is Randall Schwartz. Yes. Pearl Guru. If any of you got the book Learning Pearl?
I have it.
Yeah, you have it? Yeah, Randall wrote it. He's also known, he's also famous for the Schwartzian Transform.
That's right.
Yeah, which if you can understand it, you're doing better than me. He somehow, how drunk were you when you wrote it, by the way?
That one only 2 pints.
Yeah, it was, it's pretty cool. You got to look that one up.
His stuff is really good. You should get it. The O'Reilly books with the animals and stuff on the cover. I have pirated all of his books, and they're excellent.
Yeah,
they're very, very good. So without any further ado, do you want to still do pranks, or you got other questions you want to do? Or
pranks are good. We're talking about pranks.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, Randall was pranked by Intel once. We could talk about
that was a bad prank.
They didn't think of it as a prank, I'm pretty sure. They're pretty serious about it. The cops that showed up at my door were pretty insistent on seeing all of my computer equipment, so...
Yeah, sometimes they have no sense of humor about things like that.
Right, although it's interesting because their warrant when they went up to my house included and any telephone devices or blue boxes, literally blue boxes. So they obviously lifted it from some manual of, you know, when you're doing a computer crime investigation, you cover these things. And the manual is probably 8 years old.
Blue boxes? Yeah, it was maybe written in 1974 or something.
Exactly, right.
Be sure to get the laser printer so we can pull the ribbons out and read what he's been typing and printing.
That would be crazy. Ooh, origami dragon up here. Who did
that?
Yeah,
I saw that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
But the other fun pranks.
I'm not sober yet, by the way. I'm still drunk from last night.
Yay. Plenty of fluids. Another fun prank. This one from Caltech. Apparently, the dorms they have there are organized almost like fraternities. Your dorm is pretty much where you stay for the 4 years. You're an undergrad at Caltech, and they try to outdo each other every year on taking floor pictures. Each different floor in the dorm tries to outdo everyone else. One of the best ones I've seen was taken during the middle of rush hour traffic, where they had set up a small living room lounge type area on the interstate during rush hour traffic. They got on the interstate, four vehicles side by side, one of them a truck carrying furniture, all gradually slowed down. And when they came to a complete stop, everyone jumped out, very quickly set up the gear, camera in front on stand, snap, 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 took a few pictures, loaded everything back up, and they were moving again in under 90 seconds. The picture is beautiful because here they are, couch, lamps, working. I'm not sure how they got the lamps working. I guess battery-powered, something like that, hanging out on the middle of the interstate, and behind them you just see all these vehicles piling up, and there's a truck in the first row of vehicles behind them with a guy looking out the window going... So they got off, next exit, headed back, and got a very good real-world demonstration of a standing shockwave. Apparently, they caused a traffic jam that lasted several hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have a prank I can talk about.
I know about it, but I don't know the details well enough to explain it to the best of...
This happened here in Atlanta. You can go Google this. A bunch of college students decided they were going to demonstrate the folly of the traffic speeds on 285.
Yeah, if I recall, one of them had gotten a speeding ticket and was pissed about it because everyone else around him was going at the same speed or faster.
Yeah, it might have been. I never heard what motivated them to do this.
Speeding ticket.
They got a bunch of college students, and they got in all the lanes... side by side and drove 55 on 285.
Oh, this wasn't just 280. This wasn't just 285. No, they went downtown specifically. So as they got near Georgia Tech, they had people standing on the bridge overhead.
They were standing on the overpasses, taking pictures as people are going by. There's this line of cars forever behind them, all with the horns honking. Anybody here from Atlanta who heard about this? Yeah, it was. It really ticked off a lot of people. But you got to go online and Google. It was a great...
They nearly got arrested because of that, too. Apparently, the judge had no sense of humor. And, it could be. They had to actually get... What?
How do you get arrested for following the law?
Yeah, that was the question. They had to get a university lawyer to defend them, basically, and point that out. And the initial charges or threats of charges were for obstructing traffic. And, of course, the counter-argument was obstructing traffic. We were driving the fucking speed limit. And, well, you know, you were causing blah, 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 blah delays. And, you know, it could be in danger, people, yada, yada, yada. We were driving the speed limit. We got a ticket for driving over the speed limit. We wanted to give a practical demonstration of driving the speed limit and why it was kind of bullshit to give this one person a ticket when everybody else around them was not driving the speed limit or going significantly faster. So I don't think they got out of the ticket.
You have a message from the board.
Yeah.
You don't
want
to see my boobs. No,
definitely.
Dude, total sausage factory here.
We are a pair of boobs up here, but I don't think that's what you're looking for either. I have a couple.
Let's see, I have one, two, three, four. Yeah, there's some in here, but yeah, I don't think you got to get lucky, dude. Sorry.
I have a two-level prank I can talk about from early in my employed days.
Oh, wait. No, I don't mean dot matrix printer. I mean, if you read the Hacker Crackdown, one of the things that the Secret Service guys did was they seized laser printers specifically so they could get the ribbons out of the laser printers and read what people had been printing. That's how ignorant they were.
These ribbons have been shredded. And it's in this box.
Yeah, Bruce Sterling, you've been able to find legal copies of it online for ages. Gutenberg's a good place to start.
Moobs. It's true.
You want to see my moobs? No. I'm not even sure where those are.
I don't want to see them. I'm too close. So the two-level prank that I did, I was working for a large company, the largest employer in Oregon at the time. It doesn't start with a lowercase I. That, they became the largest employer later. And we had a... This is how long ago this is. It's an old Ristis E system. So that's a deck operating system back from when they had PDP 11s and stuff like that. The computer room was, of course, locked up, and only the three or four operators had keys to it because it was nice glass everywhere back in the days when we did all that. So I happened to notice that the console was still logged in, and you could send messages to the console. And the console was logged in with a smart enough terminal that I could send characters to it and tell it to send those characters back. So I sent a message to the console to say, please authorize this other terminal as root, or whatever the equivalent of root is, which is, I've forgotten already. And in fact, I was then logged in at my console or my terminal at my desk as root. Well, there was a guy, this is like Saturday, it's like a late Saturday afternoon, and there was this other guy in there. And I've used the Ristis commands to see what else everybody else was doing. And this guy was sitting across from me, or not the next cubicle over, but like about six or seven cubicles over. And I could tell he was playing Adventure. And one of the commands you can do as the sysadmin is you can force stuff into people's input buffer. So he's playing Zork Adventure, whatever it was, right? I forced into his input buffer, kill me with hands, which is the way to force yourself to basically commit suicide. He goes, what? Well, okay. And I hear this shriek. What? What just happened? What? Because apparently he was somewhere in the middle of the game. It was pretty funny. So that's a two-level prank, yeah.
Speaking of rooting, that was good. That was real good. You should put some bizarre ones up first. Oh, my life is so horrible. I am God. I'm so depressed. Kill me with hands.
I was only 16. I didn't have a lot of thinking process.
That was good. Yeah. Okay, a long tradition at HackerCons has been rooting people, and that means when they are dumb enough to fall asleep in public areas, they usually wake up with all sorts of interesting things on them in permanent marker, including timestamps of when people put things on them.
In Unix time format? That'd be cool.
Yeah, sometimes. That's definitely. Nice. The earliest instance of that I'm aware of is when, again, Desia615, who was one of the guys who started Freaknik, fell asleep in his own dorm room. I mean, in his own hotel room. This was when we determined, okay, it has to be a public area, because he really, really was upset about being rooted in his own hotel room. But there are wonderful pictures circulating of him with all sorts of signed comments, graffiti. Every single one of them is time stamped. Every single one. Gluing things to people is also fun too, but you only use super glue on people you really don't like or who have done something really hideously socially offensive.
That takes surgery.
So yeah. So apparently the guy who keeps almost falling asleep right here in the second row is not taking the hint.
Apparently not.
So me, I'm not going to advocate anything, but...
Start talking back into the audience.
No. That's really... Oh, that's too pointy. You want felt.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah. Here's the red one here.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm not advocating anything. I'm just saying, should the opportunity present itself after sufficient warning, or you just feel like being kind of a dick. There you go.
What's convent?
That's interesting. No, do not fuck with 911 operators, seriously.
I'm going to say application can boot into memory before your Windows, before your Linux kernel, and it'll actually give you root access without needing to use the root access.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, that's the thing. Somebody just said something about that like a week ago.
I need to play with that. Huh. No. Okay. We'd mentioned the MIT versus Caltech prank wars. This is a lot of fun. A couple of years back, a bunch of Caltech students road tripped out to MIT on one of their student recruiting freshman, welcome to MIT type days. And so they showed up and had a bunch of shirts on that looked very similar to, but not... That's one letter too many, dude. You fail. They had shirts similar to, but not quite the same as the MIT students who were taking the parents around and the freshmen showing the campus and doing recruiting for the not quite college age folks yet. And they were handing out T-shirts to everyone that said, MIT, when you just weren't good enough for Caltech, or wow. NIT, we're second best, and stuff like that, and we're putting up a bunch of Caltech literature and signs all over the campus, and they didn't get caught. They were managed to stay away of everyone who kept finding this stuff, going, who is doing this, who is doing this, and documented the whole thing and put it up on a website they had created. Which I can't remember the exact URL, but Google Caltech versus MIT prank wars or something like that, you'll find it, with a score, Caltech 1, MIT 0. And so they waited. And, oh my God, did MIT up the ante. Caltech has this cannon that sits in the middle of their campus, very prominently historical artifact type thing. There's lots of student rituals built up around it. Big thing, and old military piece was actually a working cannon. The MIT guys, they stole it. Stole the cannon, transported it from Caltech to the MIT campus, where they installed it at the MIT campus, and then proceeded to have a lot of fun with it and put pictures all over the web. And they hacked the website with a score on it and changed it to... Caltech 1, MIT 1, your move, suckers. Still waiting for the response for that, and that was about 2, maybe 3 years ago. So Caltech's going to have to work really hard to top that. And how do you steal a campus, a giant cannon, out of the middle of the center of a campus and transport it cross country without getting caught when people are looking for it?
MIT... obviously use teleportation. So
quantum teleportation.
Quantum teleportation. Quantum entanglement teleportation. There you go. There you go. Wow. I didn't do this prank, but I won't say the guy's name for fear he will get retribution on me. One of the...
Why are you looking over at me?
Sysadmins, this is when web pages were kind of a new thing, and our university had a really nice web page, and on April Fool's, he decided to do something interesting. He added to the web page this little thing that popped up that said, your printer is infected with a virus. And it went on about how this printer virus, and it went on and on. Well, all the sysadmins thought this was hysterical. The rest of the campus administration did not. We got in a lot of trouble for that one. The other one that they did is on April Fool's, they would redirect the DNS entry for UGA, where that's our rival school. And it would look like the UGA webpage, but it really wasn't. And it would have all these articles about, you can imagine, because let's just say things with animals and...
Lots of links to Goatsy.
Yeah. No, we didn't. Nothing that bad. But it was quite fun. Well, we found out later they were doing the same thing to us. Yeah, and there was a link on the page. If you found out, if you clicked, it would take you to the actual real homepage, so we didn't actually keep people from getting there. Well, eventually that got to annoy somebody else in the administration, and they eventually put a stop to all that. And we haven't had a prank page or on April Fool's Day since. So,
I do have to say about the printer stuff, actually. In one of the Hacker's Challenge books, they documented an instance where Modern printers have got memory, and some of them actually have very small, limited, I guess you could call them printer operating systems. A lot of the HP network enterprise level printers do. And there have been instances where when these computers and when these printers are set up and they don't have some of the custom printing protocols turned off, and people have been able to slide past firewalls, connect directly to the printer, and install software in the printer memory and run it and use that as basically kind of a hook and access point to get into the rest of the network and make attacks on machines behind the firewall by going through the printers. I thought that was pretty fascinating.
Actually, they have some of the printers have a hard drive.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
make them into an FTP server.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
Oh, changing the admin password on some of these printers.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's fun. Or just sending print jobs to it. Very interesting print jobs. Yeah, I leave that to your imagination. Who wants to get hold of some of that really, really good beer that was left over from last night and take it home and drink it later? Okay, your mission...
Go get it?
No. Your mission, should you choose to accept, and I'm ultimately deciding if I'm going to accept you or not, because there are a couple of complications to this, is to go upstairs to my room and refill my coffee cup and bring the coffee back down to me. And whoever I trust enough to do that, I mean, I'm giving you my room key temporarily. Yeah, well, yes.
Sure, whatever.
Okay. Yes, I don't think you're as evil or devious as most of the folks here because you get...
You don't know me that well.
Well, you gave me caffeine pixie stuff, pixie dust stuff, so... Room 501, the red cooler in there. Grab as much as you want out of there. Just please don't quite take all of it. I would like a few of them.
You reminded me of something. James here, who's right here, this guy here.
Coffee pot is
we owe him great props because last night while everybody was too drunk to figure out if the beer was cold or not, he kept cycling the warm beer out into the cooler for the cold beer and kept everybody in cold beer while everybody else is kind of
That's why,
going
yeah,
crazy.
We brought,
so,
that's why we brought the cooler down.
Night. Thank you for doing that.
That was the plan.
Oh.
Yeah. We thought of that in advance when we weren't drunk, and it worked well.
It worked very well. So I want to thank you for that.
I'm glad someone was still had enough brain cells firing to implement the plan.
I don't know. He consumed quite a bit of beer, so I wasn't quite sure how to
Have you got like an extra brain in there that has an alcohol firewall around it or something?
I think it's one of those lizard hindbrain things that feel instinctual.
It's how I get home every night.
That's called the butt brain. All right, cool. That's what I was aiming for, yeah. But yeah, sometimes the butt brain is the only thing that really keeps you going after you've had enough to drink.
Strangely enough, no matter how drunk I get, I can always find my way back to my hotel room. I don't understand how.
The butt brain has this homing feature.
It is, apparently, yeah.
That's entirely separate from the subgenius foot brain, though, I should point out.
Yep.
Speaking of printers,
That's a segue.
That's a great segue. That's the kind of segue. Remember in 2001, A Space Odyssey, where the ape throws the bone up, and then it jump cuts, and you've got the orbiting nuclear weapons platform? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Great segue.
I know on HPs and probably some other printers, you can actually change ready message.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And for the longest time in our area, the laser jet said PC load bacon.
PC what?
Bacon.
Love bacon?
Load bacon.
Load bacon.
That's great.
I gotta remember that. That's better than all your base are belong to us.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know what that reference is?
Bacon?
Okay, you have to leave.
Who doesn't know what bacon is?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's even a Wikipedia entry for it. Seriously, all your base art belong to us. With screen captures and everything. I think there's even a linked audio file.
That's from,
91? It's one of those crazy Japanese computer games with the not quite unintentionally funny subtitles there.
English.
Yes.
Yeah, the final scene when you're fighting the big bad guy and he pops up on the screen, instead of saying, you know, we own all your bases. It says all your bases are belong to us.
All your base are belong to us.
Yes.
And this has really got me looking forward
to... great justice.
This will be one of the good things about China as it continues to modernize and everyone gets more and more widespread access to technology there, because Chinese English is so much cooler than Japanese English. Oh, I can't wait.
There's a couple of blogs I read every day, and they include... bad translations.
Well, I'm wearing the last clean pair, so she goes rooting around in there. Yeah.
That could be part of the kink, though.
I don't want to know about that, man. That's just, I don't go there. I got my limits.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very well defined. And there are lines I've learned through video experience. I will not cross that line. In fact, I don't even like going close to them in some cases.
So there was April Fool's pranks being talked about before. And I have one April Fool's prank that I also did. I was working for, I was writing a security administration guide so that they could become Orange Book certified. And part of that involves talking with people on the security team to figure out how the security software works. And one of the guys, the lead developer on the security team, was sort of a rebel inside the company. He'd been there since day one, basically. And he had left a bug in the security software that allowed you to create a file that you couldn't delete using ordinary means. You had to go back to the security software to undelete it. And so on April 1st, it's a two-level prank. All the good ones are always complex. I had the software to log in to get your mail was separate from the software that you logged in with. You had to provide a separate mail password. But I in order to get to your mail, you had a file in your home directory that actually had the password in it, which is really great security. One of the system administrators left their file that to get mail unprotected. And so I happened to be cruising through and I saw this file and I went, that's his mail password. I wonder if that's also his login password. It turns out it's his login password. And so I logged in, checked it out, checked around a little bit, and I opened up his mail, and it turns out that they changed the super user password, the root password for this system, every week. And the way I know they changed every week is because he had a mail folder full of the mail they sent around every week to say, here's the new root password. So I grabbed the root password. This can't be real. I went, yeah, cool. So I logged in as root and went, oh, yeah. And this is all like on March 29th or something. So I went, April 1st is coming up. I changed the system startup scripts that everybody that logged in got a file in their home directory called April Fools that they couldn't delete. It was fun.
Yeah, the guys at help desk did not like you.
No, the senior vice president had a nice talk with me.
Not necessarily an April Fool's prank, but I think the story has gotten around enough that Pat Henry will not scream, "What?" if he hears it again. I kind of accidentally disrupted and temporarily brought the Dragon Con parade to a stop about 10 years ago. They used to have the parade on Monday, and... or whatever the last day of the convention was, because it wasn't Labor Day weekend back then. I guess it would have been Sunday. And I was staying over at the Hyatt at the time with some friends. We were way up on the 20th floor. This was back when that would not have been a, my God, are you high? Why are you staying in the Hyatt, especially on the 20th floor type thing? And has anyone ever seen one of these before? A little paper helicopter? Yeah, so... had one of those that we made out of a banner that was about 8 feet long and a couple of feet wide. And for reasons I won't go into, it's another story. We also had on the banner in giant letters a certain person's name followed by sucks throbbing donkey cock. And we had kind of hacked our way out onto the balcony because you weren't supposed to get out there. They had the things locked. I guess this was specifically for Dragon Con. I don't know. But I paid for the damn hotel room. I wanted to enjoy the balcony. And all you really had to do was push the little screen, like on window screen stuff, out of the frame slightly, reach back behind and unlock the balcony thing manually from the outside without a key. And then, of course, you take a a pen and just very carefully poke the screen back into place with a little rubber sealing grommet there, and everything is perfectly fine. So we're out on our balcony, wee, having fun all weekend, throwing paper airplanes. The little roof of the Centennial Ballrooms, and other people figured the trick out, apparently, the roof to the Centennial Ballroom by the end of Dragon Con that year had a whole bunch of paper airplanes and other things on it. But so, yeah, here's the parade coming down the street. We're overlooking Centennial Ballroom. Parade is off to one side here, our left. We're watching it go by, we're watching it go by, and just come up with the idea, hey, wouldn't it be fun to turn this giant banner that we've got here with insults about someone we didn't like at the time scrawled on it in giant letters, let's turn it into a giant paper helicopter and see if it'll actually unfold and catch before it falls as a crumpled mass to the roof of the Centennial Ballroom about 20 stories below. So we did this, got it, wired up, threw it out as far as we could very carefully, and it didn't look like it was going to work at first. This big kind of crumply limp mass went falling down, and after about 6 or 7 floors halfway down, it caught and it just unfolded all at once, and it was beautiful. It started spinning around very slowly, and apparently the vanes on the thing were getting enough lift that it actually started going up. Which was, wow, that's pretty damn cool. And then we realized the wind was kind of blowing it over around the corner of the building. And it was very soon going to be in sight of a lot of people. And at that point, I guess it stopped, the lift should stop catching, because then it started going down. And then we realized, oh, fuck, it's going to land right in the middle of the parade. And then we realized that, you know, the thousands of people lining the street, and people started looking up and pointing. And we're kind of cringing here behind the balcony. And then we realize the cops down there are starting to get freaked out, because there are cops doing this thing with their hands on their guns. Yep. It's just paper. But it gets huge. Whirl. Now lower. The parade stops in the street, and the cops are out there watching this thing like they're getting ready to pounce on it. And fortunately, it does not land right in the middle of the street. Unfortunately, it bounced on top of a police car and then draped itself over the Metro Atlanta police car parked there. And we're like, close balcony door very carefully. We're not up here. Close the curtains. We did not do this. Thank God our names are not on that.
Yeah.
But oh boy, the person whose name is on there, he wasn't really doing stuff at Dragon. He used to be someone who did things at Dragon Con, and I haven't seen him since. So, yeah. I unintentionally, but yeah, we didn't really mean to stop the parade, although I guess we did provide some interesting entertainment for a bit and scare the hell out of the cops. Thank God that wasn't post 911. They probably would have opened fire. Okay. I think I've got pictures of it somewhere. Where's my coffee?
I don't know. She's checking out your room.
Could be. Yeah. Good being. I got all the cash down here with me, so if that's what she's looking for.
Everybody's checking out, so the elevator's probably...
Yeah,
the elevator's... I said 501. I mean, I think she would have taken the stairs up. It's only 3 floors.
How do you bring a cooler full of beer?
I didn't say bring the cooler down. I just said if you go up and get my coffee, you can grab whatever you want out of the cooler.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, if she actually brings the whole cooler down here, either waiting on the elevators or if she drags it down the steps, more power to her, I guess. But yeah. That's not what I've said. Yeah. I just suggested the easy way to do it.
This is exactly the checkout time, so it might be really jammed on the elevator.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, why I just assume people would take the stairs.
I rode the elevator all the way up to 28 today, whatever the top floor is.
Can you get out on the roof?
No, I was trying to get down. I got on an up elevator, and it went all the way up. We stopped at... I was on 12, so we stopped at every floor, 12 to 28, and then about half the floor is on the way back down.
Oh, for future reference, the Marriott does not like it if you get out on the roof.
Would any hotel like it? So that you really...
It depends on if they know or not. The Marriott, I guess maybe we tripped an alarm or something, but they don't like it if you go out on the roof.
Yeah. It sounds like the kind of thing you overqualified your
pretending
statement.
Pretending to be drunk and not knowing exactly how you got where you were does help, though.
This isn't the pool?
We're not sure how we got up here. We wanted to take the stairs to our floor, and so we can't find our hotel room now. It worked.
The running track, right? Isn't this the running track? That's one floor I didn't get off on this year, so...
You mean this isn't the Hyatt? Where am I? Can you help me back to my room, please? Oh, God, I'm going to be sick. That works wonders. That will really get you out of a lot of situations.
It'd be really cool to have the hotel key from the next door hotel at that point, too. I'm trying to get to the 39th floor.
If you're really desperate and you need to make it look convincing and you know you've got a few moments to spare, lose your pants. Drunk person running around without pants on saying, oh God, I'm going to be sick. Where am I? Can you help me back to my hotel room?
Caffeine.
You're usually guaranteed to get out of any situation that way.
Did I just miss interesting advice?
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't do you any good right now because you're not wearing pants.
There's no beer in your hotel room. We couldn't find the cooler.
You couldn't find the cooler?
We couldn't find the cooler.
Wow.
Big red and white thing?
Nope.
Kind of in
the only thing you had was this cooler that was about this big with cheese and carrots in it.
Oh, wait a minute. The cooler's next door. I'm sorry.
No! No!
No, just go next door.
He needed the coffee.
The
That's
cooler.
The problem.
I'm sorry. I thought we took it upstairs last
night.
I was tired last night, okay? It's right next door. Go help yourself, really. Science track room.
I'll go get it.
I'll grab when the track's up right on my
phone. Yeah, go ahead and bring the cooler on in here. I'm sorry. It was a stressful night last night.
I gave you caffeine.
They were mean to the Church of the Subgenius people, and I was very upset about that because I invited them here.
I'm sorry, you can someone's dabs because I can do this.
Hmm?
You
can
someone's dabs?
I'm going to be quiet from now on because there are other ways to deal with the situation. So, never mind. No comment. Never mind. No. The Church of the Subgenius people, I don't think, are going to come back. But they did appreciate the, that sucks. Well, I think we should invite them to a bunch of hacker cons now, because Susie the Floozy has actually done a few hacker cons, and she had a great time. Nearly got the very first one shut down. It rocked. Mm-hmm. That was the one where we were all getting baptized naked in the swimming pool at 2 o'clock in the morning, and people who were not with the convention objected because their little kids saw us in the swimming pool at 2 o'clock in the morning, several hundred of us. It's a challenge.
I've got one.
There we go. always.
Prepared people.
I didn't realize when I was getting baptized naked in the swimming pool that my pants were a 50-point item on the scavenger hunt. Yeah, kind of bad to be standing there with your guy you're putting on the convention with, and the hotel manager is screaming at you that he's got to shut down the con and call the cops, and I'm standing there wearing my shirt and tuxedo jacket going, I really wish I had pants right now.
Was that your bottle opener we had last night?
Nope. Yeah.
We don't know where that went. I mean, the person had brought it.
Yeah, if the person who brought it is upset that their bottle opener disappeared, well, you know, have a beer.
If you can open it.
Yeah. To be able to stare.
We weren't going to tell them that.
I don't know how cold this beer is, so it might be English style. No, it's actually
it should be chill.
It's okay.
It's a little chilly.
A little chilly. All right, you have to tell the next joke because I need to go downstairs and steal more sugar and cream.
The next joke.
They look at me funny when I come down there with my own cup of coffee and start putting stuff in. Huh?
He is drinking coffee.
No, I am drinking coffee.
Not if you put sugar and cream.
I want sugar and cream this morning, damn it. Piss off.
It's okay. He sent us on a while.
So are you like taking questions and stuff?
I should probably take my wallet with me.
A good idea.
And I want my room key back.
Here it is.
Yes, see, I'm beginning to
lose it.
Wake up. Caffeine is a good thing.
Good plan. So,
does anybody have any actual hacker questions?
Yeah, I mean, I can take questions. I don't have...
Pranks or hacking?
I don't have any stories, no.
Social engineering? Yeah, anything fun? For porn?
Anti-social engineering?
What have you been up to?
Really? We're typing in Avenue Q lyrics now? Really?
For porn?
What I...
No, there's so many better musicals.
What I've been up to for the last year is mostly looking for work. I had no employment at all from October to April.
If you're having trouble finding it, no move for me.
I've heard that from many people. Yes, it really sucks. So I got a contract now. I'm working full time for a company in Burbank, California. In fact, I'm flying right from here to there to go be on site for a week with them. But I have to say it's at a rate that I haven't seen since 1994. So it really sucks. And I could actually lose my house that close. So, yeah. So it's a tough deal out there right now. Definitely a tough deal. What I've also been doing is playing a lot with small talk. So I've been writing courseware and talks and stuff, giving talks at various conferences about small talk. So that's been a lot of fun.
What would you be doing if you could do anything?
Just laying on a beach somewhere. Oh, you mean like for work?
No. Laying
on a beach somewhere, on a cruise, I guess. And I actually missed two of the Geek Cruises this year because I couldn't afford to go. So there was we'd been planning this one for 2 years to go to China for 6 days, and that would have been wonderful, and I couldn't go. Couldn't afford it. So it's okay. I hear it was fun. Leah LaPorte went on that one. So it was really strange. I was down in Petaluma, California, where Leah LaPorte does all of his podcasts, on the day that Leo was actually on the Geek Cruise. So we just swapped places. So I was actually hosting my show from his home office when he was out in China on the cruise. I guess it's some sort of like Checkpoint Charlie where you can't have both of us in the same room at the same time. You know, we'd swap places. It was pretty cool. That was good. That was the week before OSCON. So I was down in the Bay Area for OSCON anyway. And also for a really cool photo workshop. Chris Marquardt does the Tips from the Top Floor photography podcast. And we've been hanging out together. We're good friends now. And he's been inviting me as the token celebrity on his photo workshops when he comes to the U.S. and does those. He's out of Germany. So we did street photography, street safari. So we were walking around the streets of San Francisco shooting people. And this is the first time I've ever actually, because it was an assignment, I walked up to somebody and said,
shooting pictures?
Pictures, right. Yeah. Photos. Take only photos, leave only dead bodies, something like that. Anyway, all right. It was the first time I'd ever, because it was an assignment, I actually walked up to somebody and said, can I take your picture? And I've never done that. Even at all the cons, I'd basically just in stealth mode taking pictures around here. So it was weird, and it was great, because the lady who was, she was a street vendor, and she was knitting, and I wanted to, she had a pink jacket on, so it was like colorful and cool and a little odd, so I took the picture, and it was great. So also got some good panos from, where's the Twin Peaks in the southwest part of San Francisco, for those of you from that area might know that area. So I got a couple good panos from there. And so it was great, a lot of fun. Then we went to OSCON and had a great time. Threw a party for 900 of my closest friends, thanks to Linux Fund, which I'm now on the board of directors of. Linux Fund has these Penguin credit cards, Tux credit cards. So they've had this for 10 years where they had like about 1% of what you buy is often returned in some sort of premium, like an affinity card or a cash back or whatever. Well, the cash goes to the Linux Fund, and over $1 million of donations have been made through that over the last 10 years, just from people using their credit cards ordinarily. And it's we've funded all sorts of things like Inkscape and layers of stuff, really cool stuff. So I'm on the board of directors. I'm having a great time doing that.
So did anyone walk in here, grab a couple of beers, and then just walk out again?
No.
I swear to God, people got a sixth sense about that stuff at DragonCon. There were a couple of guys walking by looking at what was going on the various signs, and as I was going downstairs, and they both stopped and looked in the room, free beer? I just figured they'd come
wow.
in. And, yeah.
Free as in beer.
It's not on the sign. They were just looking to see what was going on this time of the morning. Somehow they knew free beer. Yeah.
They can smell it.
Oh, beer.
It's like putting out pizza at a university. It's students from everywhere.
It triggers the pizza gene.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're looking for questions or pranks. If anybody wants to, if there's somebody in the back, come up to the mic. He's lazy.
Yeah. Oh God, it's that guy again.
Oh really?
No, not you. The guy behind you.
Okay.
What do you think of things like
talking into the mic?
Mike. That's why.
No, turn the mic around. You have to walk around the mic.
Doing it this way. What do y'all think about iPredator and services like that?
Think about iPredator and what?
Services like that.
Maybe.
What's iPredator?
I don't know. Let's pretend like we know and
okay.
give weird
it's
answers.
Really cool, but don't use it on Thursdays.
Pirate Bay's VPN service where they say they're not going to store any traffic data.
Well, that's what they say.
I'd worry about anything related to Pirate Bay now. There's too many deals going on with that.
Yeah, what was it? Someone bought Pirate Bay recently?
Right.
Yeah,
let's go.
Buy Pirate Bay for like $1 billion.
It's like, well, what's the...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like eBay buying Skype, which didn't make any sense either. That's a.
I mean, yeah, but hey, like if I had, if I was the guy who came up with Pirate Bay and I had a chance to cash out for $1 billion, oh fuck yeah, I can be bought for $1 billion, man. Yeah. I'd almost be willing to have sex with another guy, but I'd have to think about it.
They're
for
talking
a while.
About buying it for like $1 billion. Still owes money for the litigation. Well, yeah, they're talking about buying it for some obscene amount, like $1 billion, and the idea is they want to turn the company wants to turn it into some kind of iTunes-ish sort of thing.
Hey,
and everybody I know in IT who has read the articles figures that they have $1 billion they want to flush down the toilet. That's basically what everybody thinks.
Well, you know, money has been thrown away on worse things. Pets.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, here's what I would do. If I was the Pirate Bay and the Pirate Bay political party, I would just go ahead and, since, you know, hackers, smart, reasonably smart, clever, just go ahead and rig the elections, take over the country, and start buying nuclear weapons from other countries, and then any place else that threatens litigation, tell them to fuck off. We have nukes.
Wow.
That's over the top.
All right.
Too much is always better than not enough. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yes.
Either that or, you know, buy launch capability and put your own orbital mind control lasers in orbit.
That would be another option.
Lasers.
Lasers.
My nephew's 10, very into computers. What,
God help you.
What languages should we be directing his interests
in? English.
Into?
Most people in the world actually speak Chinese.
Yes.
So, yeah, followed by too. Actually Hindi.
Kind of
so I would say Chinese, okay. Hindi, Spanish, and then English, and he'll have most of the spoken languages in the world covered.
Perfect.
Probably French, because that's the official language of the United Nations.
Got it. Thank so. You.
Maybe grab Japanese too.
Nah, they're on their way out. Chinese are going to take over.
Well, not for that, just because
I don't know. I mean, actually, yes, I have.
It's a little frightening, isn't it?
It is. Well, okay, I gotta give the Japanese credit because they are still responsible for 76.8% of the world's weird shit. I mean,
only
78.6. There's a lot of people in the rest of the world. But they're responsible for the majority. Like, there's only 5% of the world's population is American, but we consume 40% of the resources. A small percentage of the world is Japanese, but they consume they put out a disproportionately large percentage of the world's weird shit. So you gotta give them credit for that.
Have you watched a Japanese game show?
Or you watched a Japanese kids show?
Yes.
They do things. There's one that they do that's kind of like candid camera sort of thing. They do things that look like they put people in a hospital. I can't believe they get away with this stuff in their clothes.
Oh, yeah, there was the one guy that they had locked up in the little small apartment. I think it was like a two-room apartment with a bathroom. Locked in there, and basically he had to survive on stuff he could get free through the mail. And they just had a camera in there, and he was naked, eating nothing but rice, I think, for the first 2 or 3 weeks in the apartment. And he finally started getting all this free stuff in through the mail, because when you're naked and eating rice for 3 weeks, and your only activity is to write letters begging for free stuff or sending out coupons for offers and stuff, you've got a lot of free time on your hands. Now, unfortunately, it looked like he was beating the system towards the end, so they told him he had to go someplace, I think Taiwan, to collect his prize. So he goes to Taiwan, and then they take his passport and all of his money and just leave him there. And that was the next part of it, where they found trying to figure out what he's going to do next. They're brutal. I mean, I think that's a special form of hell. If you believe in the afterlife, if you've been really bad, you spend all of eternity in hell as a contestant in a Japanese game show. Yeah. But I gotta give him credit. I mean, the Japanese excel at weird shit. They are the masters of it.
Indeed.
I think the Chinese probably aren't going to overtake them in a while yet, because the economy is just, well, the country is just not as rich economically, and therefore they don't have as much of a sense of humor yet. And that whole communist deal, yeah, so it's going to take a while. They're going to have to get richer and get rid of communism, and then watch out. They'll get a sense of humor.
This might have been more appropriate last night, but I was drunk and asleep in my room last night, so I wasn't here. I have an idiot manager at work. He literally
shoot him.
Does not know how to do
frame one his of your other
job
coworkers
or anyone of below him their jobs either. And we don't honestly know how he got his position. We think he kissed a
you
lot.
You sucked off the whoever. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're trying to
find out who his homosexual love partner is further up the chain and blackmail both of them.
That might work. The question is, how can I best show off his own inherent idiocy? Because he's also very, very good at throwing other people under the bus and being like, oh, no, this isn't me. This was Bob's work.
Document everything. Mm-hmm. Everything, and especially try to get in touch with some of the people who have been thrown under the bus, because surely some of them are vengeful fucks like I am.
Fair enough. Best place to start.
If that doesn't work, start making... Turn off the recorder, please. Turn off the recorder, please.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Just pause it. Just pause it for a second.
Yeah, just pause it for a second there, Al. Thank you, John. I really need this guy, and I'm willing to go the extra mile.
There you go. Some people just deserve special love.
The special love that feels like hate.
Yes.
Hate is just a special kind of love we give.
Yes, ma'am?
Oh.
Thank you. We've been having too much fun. We've actually gone, gone on till 11:22.
Hmm? You got 5 minutes.
Next session. 11:30.
8 minutes, yeah. Well, and give me eight more minutes, dear, until people start coming in and want us to leave. Okay?
It's Ilanka. It's Ilanka.
Oh, it's Ilanka. Yeah. Let's make Ilanka wait. Let's make Ilanka wait. Yeah. Oh, let's see if Ilanka actually staggers in. We'll leave it a little bit after 11:30, not too many minutes after, but we want to see if Ilanka actually makes it to 11:30.
Cool.
Who knows?
This is the first time I've actually made it to Hacking 301 in time, on time in like 5 years.
And sober.
There is one thing here in the room that is just cooler than hell, and I'm going to embarrass her by showing it off.
That's
her. Come on up here, right here. Okay.
Oh, you mean me.
Yeah, I mean you. Okay, put your foot right up there. These are the coolest shoes ever invented. These are called Gorilla Feet. Vibram. Yeah, they're made by Vibram. The five finger twos. They are the coolest thing. It's supposedly the next best thing to going barefoot, but you can actually get into restaurants.
Yeah, I'll be telling you over there in a few minutes to do his portion of the timesheet.
They're really cool. So if you get a chance, you might want to come up and look at them. They are really neat.
After we wrap up here, just to get it done, and then have someone run it over to staff check in and get our dead dog tickets.
Your toes are totally comfortable, like walking around barefoot, but protected from the elements.
And especially glass and needles.
Vibram.
V-I-B-R-A-M.
How'd you end the border? We got them in Boston, actually. I was just up there a couple weeks ago.
Do
they make special ones for people
with
wedge toes?
They do not at this time, unfortunately.
Are they considering lowering the price to something not ridiculous?
Well, you know what? They're $80 mostly, because these ones...
I could get three pairs of high tops for that.
That is true, but they wouldn't...
I could get high tops with, and get extra Dr. Scholl's insoles, yeah.
I hear you.
If I get 80 Snickers bars.
You're going to wear 80 Snickers bars on your feet?
I'm just saying, you're going to start bringing the things right. I know. Do I look like I jog?
You don't.
No, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it freaked me out the first time I saw him. Wow.
How about you, Johnny? What you been up to in this last year?
No good.
Keep in touch.
This was fun. My mom was, I'll just preface this now by saying she's fine now. My mom was in an accident early in 2008, and I spent most of 2008 up in Nashville taking care of her until she could get back on her feet again. Running home business, being her chauffeur, cook, doing laundry, cleaning out. No, it wasn't a sharp accident. Broke her leg and hip in a couple places. Had a nasty fall. In the driveway, walking from the dog kennel back to the house, slipped on ice. That's when we found out that she was calcium deficient afterwards and broke her leg and hip in a couple of places. Unfortunately, was stuck outside for about an hour in sub-freezing temperatures before she managed to crawl into the house without passing out. I'd been bitching at her for over a year about the landline, which she was using for dial-up internet access, and of course the computer, which was upstairs, was online, so she cannot use the landline. Her cell phone was upstairs, had to go up two flights of stairs to get to her cell phone, which she realized had not been charging up in the charger. She wasn't even sure if she could make a phone call out. She managed to get a phone call out to the next door neighbors, basically, and the guy was over there in like 30 seconds helping an ambulance there. So yeah, it was bad. It was a long time before she could walk, and I was pretty much doing everything there for, including cleaning out the dog kennel with 30 dogs in it two times a day. That is a lot of shit.
Literally.
You used to work at a pet store.
No, my mom raises and breeds Karen Terriers, Toto dogs from the Wizard of Oz, and she's got actually one of the top bloodlines in the world, but you still got to clean their shit up a couple of times a day.
Yeah, they haven't gotten around.
I'm a cat person. So anyway, yeah, got her back on her feet and everything, and came back down to Atlanta to re-enter the job market just about the time the economy and the job market tanked, and I've been looking ever since.
Okay.
So anyone wants a resume? Yeah, I used to work at Google. I'm pretty good with a screwdriver. You know, let me know. science@dragoncon.org.
The best I could do for you is get you a job, maybe back in Nashville. That's where
I don't know. That might be an intermediary step between here and Nashville. I mean, between here and New York City. I might go back to Nashville for a while.
If you help get his manager fired, there'll be a job opening.
To get his manager fired? What are you talking about? And some evil dickhead would only get would get another person fired in this economy.
Yeah.
So what time is it? Is it time for Alonka to be here yet?
She's got 2 minutes.
11:27. There's two ones in this room.
Okay, I guess we'll do a countdown and see if she actually shows up on time. Ooh, it'll be nice to rag her for once about this.
She's been late for at least both of her panels so far.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, did she make a hookup this year?
Maybe. What was it like in the cage last night?
Felt good, actually. No, I mean, I'm serious. Apparently, Tesla used to do stuff like that all the time. He thought it had rejuvenating effects for him, and I felt pretty good, and I smelled all nice and clean and ozone-y when I came out, so yeah. Lots of static electricity afterwards, I noticed. Shock my girlfriend the next time I kissed her. Which is too bad that effect didn't last. That could be useful in other ways.
Shocking.
Indeed.
So what have you guys been up to recreationally? In terms of, you know, like computers and hacking and things of that nature?
Okay,
yeah, go ahead. She's not late. Shit.
I actually got out of my room 15 minutes ago, just the damn elevator.
Now, this is a really good reason why you don't do things over an open network. Notice what this line right here says. Non-certified distributions at Nokia.com. And he just gave away his user ID and password. And the other day, we happened to see the same user ID and password getting into the current distribution of what's their new operating system? Nokia's new operating MIMO.
I don't know. I was going to wrap this thing up by he asked me what I've been doing. It hasn't been computer related. I hate computers. I'm leaving the IT industry.
Go ahead. I was just pointing out that people are doing really bad stuff. So if you want to, we could go own Nokia right now.
See, this is why I've increasingly gone low tech, stuff like this. For all the widespreadness and ubiquity of computers and everything these days, it's still a relatively new technology compared to other stuff that's out there, so it's going to take a while to work out all the holes and the flaws and get things locked down and make it as reliable as landline systems or the power grid or, you know, plumbing. So, which, yeah, think about it. The landline phones, your power goes out, you can still make a phone call if you're using the older style, non-wireless type phones, because it's powered through the line itself. plumbing, if the electricity goes out, you know, you can still flush your toilet. And the electrical grid itself is pretty robust compared to internet access. I mean, really, which goes out more on you, your electricity or your net access?
Electricity.
Where the hell do you live?
Florida.
Oh, well, okay, you got the whole hurricane shit going on.
No?
No. Why? Oh, well, okay, yeah, that's a localized issue then. On the whole, I would say on the average, the electrical grid is probably more reliable than most computing technology still at this point. But yeah, I'm getting out of the IT industry. I've had enough. I'll continue to milk it for money as long as I need to, but I'm going back to school and going into genetics. Yes, me, computational epigenetics, nanotechnology with human applications. I'm going to be messing around with people's genes and mutating them for money. Oh, hell yeah. Can't
you're
wait.
The man to do it.
Oh. Yeah, my current project is I'm going to figure out how to turn hair follicles on and off. I'll make a fucking $1 billion. Think about it. Really.
So you're really going to make hair grow on your palm? Is that good?
Why not? If some people want, hell, I'll make hair grow on people's tongues if they want it. I mean, think about it. Every cell in your body, with the exception of blood cells and a couple other types, just about every cell in your body has got a copy of your DNA in it, right? So what tells a cell in, say, the muscles in the tip of your finger to be a muscle cell in the tip of your finger as opposed to a level cell? It depends on which genes are expressed or not expressed. And since your skin cells, a lot of them tend to either have hair follicles or not have hair follicles, but it's a lot easier to, I would assume, I still haven't, you know, gotten a degree in this yet, but it seems logical to assume it would be a lot easier to get a hair follicle to develop and turn on than it would be to, say, have a cell in the tip of your finger, a muscle cell on the tip of your finger, turn into a liver cell. So, yeah, someone figures that out, seriously, they're going to make $1 billion. Male pattern baldness has gone away. Women suddenly never have to worry about shaving anywhere they don't want to shave again. And the real coup would not be just to be able to turn hair follicles on and off or cause them to develop where you want. The real coup would also be to cause any type of hair that you want to grow out of that follicle.
And something I'd actually prefer other than the hair thing is as people get older, the lenses in the eyes get stiffer and stiffer, which is requiring bifocals and stuff. Find something to keep the flexibility of those, and that will be printing money.
Okay. There is an option for that that I think is under implemented because, well, unfortunately, it involves surgery. But there is something cool that you can do with it. The lenses in the corneas of the eyes, and yeah, they're stiffer, and they also get cloudier as you get older. Replace that stuff. The original artificial replacements before they started doing cornea transplants and stuff. The original replacements, unlike your normal cornea, did not filter out ultraviolet. So suddenly people who were getting these artificial cornea replacements originally were seeing all these weird colors and patterns and things that other people couldn't see because there's a hell of a lot that goes on in the near ultraviolet that we just don't see. It's filtered out of our eyes. Insects and birds see this stuff. There's all these patterns all over plants, and I would like to be able to see into the ultraviolet. I mean, yeah, ultravision is cool. We haven't figured out really how to implement infravision yet for all you Dungeons & Dragons folks. But I want that stuff, and I want the non-technological version of it. So, yeah, that would be really cool. The only problem with the UV is that, well, we're not birds or insects with really short lifespans, so it tends to, well, yeah, kind of make you go blind prematurely because it destroys the UV destroys the rods and cones in the back of your eyes. But we'll figure that out. We'll figure it out. Maybe the ultimate would be to figure out a way to switch it on and off at will because that would be fucking cool. All right, I'm done. Are you ready? Should I stall more? Are you done?
No, I'm good.
Okay, I'm done. So, a lot.